Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Susan, and I welcome you to Unity Center for Positive Living. It's really great to see you all this morning, and I might even be seeing a new person or two. So that's exciting as well. This morning, our word for the day is prosperity, and I will read from the daily word. The affirmation is prosperity fills my life. Current flowing through my home's wiring provides light, but first I must flip the switch to turn it on. Divine substance, the building block of creation, is the source from which my prosperity flows, but first I must claim it in consciousness to live a prosperous life. The divine idea of prosperity is unlimited, more than sufficient to meet every need. I know true prosperity when I live from this truth. Giving freely and generously keeps prosperity at the forefront of my consciousness. I know the more I give, the more of myself I place into circulation, the more I will experience. As I give of myself, I increase the flow of prosperity in my life and in the world. And from Mark 4:24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. If you would join us, please, in singing Surely the Presence. Mike and Karen are going to lead us in that.
Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we will say our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And our welcoming song today is One Voice, and the Merkers will lead us in that.
Sound of one.
is the sound of voices too. The sound of me singing with you. Helping each other to make it through. This is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices three, singing together in harmony, surrendering to the mystery. This is the sound of voices three. This is the sound of voices three.
Well, that was great. Thanks. Well, it's now time for us to greet our neighbors. So if you would put your screen on gallery view so you can see everyone, you can wave or do whatever. Great to see you all. So it's time for our announcements. I will read the ones that I have, and then if you have additional ones, you can raise your hand or unmute, speak up, whatever it takes. Today is the board meeting right after the service. You're all welcome and also encouraged to attend and participate. This afternoon at 2 o'clock is Grandfather's Christian Indian service at Bear Raven Longhouse. It's always on the second Sunday. If you haven't accessed our website yet, I would just encourage you to do that. There is so much information there. And in 2 weeks, the last Sunday of the month, Tom has agreed to take a few minutes and walk us through that for anybody who hasn't been there and feels unsure about navigating it. He's going to give a few tips, so we can look forward to that on the 28th, I believe it is. Advent and our candle lighting service are coming up real quick in just a few weeks, and we will need 12 readers for our 12 powers candle lighting. So you can think about which of those special powers you would like to share with us. So we'll be talking about that more. On the 28th, that last Sunday, is Circle in America, the group that Unity is helping to sponsor along with Dr. Daria Funches. It starts at 3 o'clock and ends at 4:30. This month, we're going to be discussing the book, The Help by Catherine Stockett. So you can get the book, the audio, the movie is great. You can do all three and show up to discuss that at that time. If you need information about how to access that, you can ask me or Dr. Daria, and we will make sure that you get it. You do need to register. It's on Zoom, but you need to register to attend. Okay, does anyone else have any announcements? Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. So let us move forward to say our unity statement together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And our song of joy today is Keep on the Sunny Side. And we have an additional musician today. Ethan is going to join with his violin, and that's going to be special.
Troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if we keep on the sunny side of life. Though the storms in its fury rage today, crushing hopes that we cherish so dear, clouds and storms will in time pass away, the sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if we keep on the sunny side of life.
Whoa, that was fun and such a great reminder, especially in this gray, rainy time of year, we get to create our own sun. And yep. Thank you. Uh-huh. Today, our reading is going to come from us to us from Joyce.
I'm reading from a book called Love is a Special Way of Feeling. And I didn't bring my document camera today. And so the book is from 1960. It's by Joan Walsh Anglin. So I want you to go back to that time. And here, I'm just getting you started with, there's the picture on the front. So you can just kind of keep those sweet pictures in mind as I read to you about love is a special way of feeling. Love is a special way of feeling. It is the safe way we feel when we sit on our mother's lap with her arms around us tight and close. It is the good way we feel when we talk to someone and they want to listen and don't tell us to go away and be quiet. It is the happy way we feel when we save a bird that has been hurt. Or feed a lost cat. Or calm a frightened colt. Love is found in unexpected places. It is there in the quiet moment when we first discover a beautiful thing, when we watch a bird soar high against a pale blue sky. When we see a lovely flower that no one else has noticed. When we find a place that shelters us and is all our very own. Love starts in little ways. It may begin the day we first share our thoughts with someone else. Or help someone who needs us. Or sometimes it begins because even without words, we understand how someone feels. Love comes quietly, but you know when it is there because suddenly you are not alone anymore and there is no sadness inside you. Love is a happy feeling that stays inside your heart for the rest of your life.
Thank you, Joyce. Our meditation song today is called That Kind of Love, and the Merkurs will lead us in that.
Actually, Ad Gure Name. And the English underneath the Sanskrit is the translation. We won't be singing that part, but that's just the meaning behind the words. So you can read them or ignore them, up to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we have the opportunity to say our affirmations together. If you would join me. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. I am at peace, knowing that everything I need comes to me in perfect time. Today, we will be saying the progressive Lord's Prayer, followed by the Alleluia. And again, we'll have the treat of Ethan playing the Alleluia. Join me, please. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will being done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you. And now it's time for our speaker. We have a different speaker each week of the month. And today it's our turn to hear from Audrey Pitchford, who is our favorite licensed Unity teacher from Olympia. And the title of Audrey's talk today is Beingness, Oneness, Divine Mind.
Thank you, Susan, and good morning, everyone. So a man died, and he was waiting outside the pearly gates to be admitted. And there was an angel there who said, hey, it's not really a quiz. It's more like an entrance poll to see what you know. And we want to know, do you know what God's name is? And the man said, well, as far as I can tell, it's either Andy or Howard. And the angel was a little surprised and said, well, what makes you think that his name is Andy or Howard? And the man said, well, we always sang this song in church. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own. But then we also would pray this prayer, our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. So today, as Susan mentioned, we are talking about beingness, oneness, and divine mind. And in Unity, these are other words used for God. They are other names of God. And this is all part of our series on the book Heart-Centered Metaphysics. And we remember that metaphysics is just a fancy word meaning beyond the physical. And it's a word that Unity uses for theology. So metaphysics helps us explore those big questions such as what is God? What is humanity? And what is our relationship with each other? And today, especially, we're going to be exploring what do we mean by the word God? And how does that meaning reflect back on ourselves and how we see ourselves and we see all of humanity? Remember that we take a heart-centered approach to all of this, bringing love, compassion, courage, oneness. This is more than a mental exercise. And as we explore names of God, I think it's really important to recognize that we each have our own lived experiences and our own experiences of the divine. And so we likely will not all see it the same way, and that's okay. We love ourselves and each other for where we're at in our journeys. We're also going to be talking about one of our 12 spiritual powers today. And these are 12 divine attributes that our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, identified as being in the divine and therefore in all humanity. Does anyone know what the spiritual power is for the month of November? Guesses. So November. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that, Johnny?
Order.
Order, really close. Order was in September.
Oh, no fair. These aren't in order.
You're right. You're right, Joanne. They're not in order. Diane.
Release.
Yeah, thank you, Diane. So the power of release is the power that we're going to be talking about in November. And I'll talk about this power a little bit later in our talk. But first, I want to share a story or the beginning of a story of my experience with the power of release. And the story begins when I was a young woman in my 20s. And here we have a nice fall release picture. And I had some bitterness in my heart and anger and resentment towards my family and towards members of my family for things that had happened in my childhood. And so I was going to therapy, and a counselor I was seeing said, Audrey, you know, you might want to consider forgiving your family members. And I said, nope. I didn't think about it. I didn't consider it. I didn't give it any thought other than to say no, because I knew in my 20-year-old heart, it was never going to happen. At that same time, if anyone ever talked about my family and said, well, they did their best, I just about went straight to the moon. I couldn't stand the idea that they might have been doing their best. All right, that's the start of my story. We'll come back to that after we explore these ideas, being this oneness and divine mind. So like I said, these are other words for the word God. Now, if you like the word God and feel comfortable using the word God, that's totally okay. I use the word God all the time. And for some folks, if they have been hurt by religion or hurt by a spiritual community, the word God may have some baggage. Even if folks have not been hurt by a spiritual malpractice or by a religious tradition, the word God sometimes may bring up connections to other theology that we learned in the past. For example, when I was growing up in the theology of my youth, God was a big guy up in the sky. God was definitely a male being. It was not okay to call God something other than he. Now, if any of us like the idea of God as a he or God as a big guy up in the sky, that's also okay. And that may steer our thinking one direction about who we are and who each other is. And so in unity, we explore other words for God. One word is this word beingness. And I have to say, if you're typing in Microsoft Word, Microsoft Word does not recognize some of these words because they're a little complex and not necessarily part of standard usage. But the idea of beingness conjures up an idea of more than just a supreme being. Beingness implies the ability to create all life, the source of all vitality, life, and wholeness, omnipotence, all power, omniscience, all knowledge, and omnipresence, all locations. And we have a great quote from Unity author Emily Cady, who wrote Lessons in Truth. And here's what she had to say about beingness. She said, God is not a being having qualities, but God is the good itself. Everything you can think of that is good, when in its absolute perfection, goes to make up that invisible being we call God. And so in that line of thinking, God is not loving. God is love itself. God is not powerful. God is power itself. Another unity word that we use for God is the word oneness, this idea that underscores the idea of a unifying presence, something that is universal everywhere in all locations. And our Unity co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, in the book Healing Letters, had this to say about oneness. She said, God is already in every part of your being, so it is just a matter of being conscious of oneness with God. I love that idea that we don't have to go somewhere special. We don't have to do more or less or different than what we're doing right now. God is already right here, right now, in me, in you, in all humanity, where we're at. It's certainly okay if we want to go somewhere special. It's certainly okay if we want to do more, less, or different. And we already have complete access to the divine within in each moment. The other word for the divine that we're talking about today is this idea of divine mind. And I love this idea because it connects back to our daily word today of prosperity. In the realm of prosperity, our currency is not money or coins or dollars in the bank account. And certainly all those things are lovely and a part of prosperity, but our currency for prosperity is in divine ideas, in divine illumination. And we know that divine mind is the source of all ideas, the source of all wisdom, all understanding. Sometimes God is also called the divine idea containing all ideas, which I love that idea as well. All right. Well, you know me. I love to hear from you and hear what you think. So there's many words and names for God. And at this point, I invite anyone who feels so moved to share, what do you call God? What are some names for God that resonate with you? And I invite you to unmute and share those with us all. I see John's hand, and I see Susan. Go ahead, Susan and John.
That I like a lot are presence and awareness.
Oh, nice. Presence and awareness. Thank you, Susan. And thank you, John, for your patience.
Okay. I like to think of God as all there is. There is nothing that exists that is not a part of, or that we're part of with.
Yeah, thank you, John. All that is, the thing that encompasses everything. Yes. Yeah. I see, Johnny, you had a thumb. I didn't know if that was a hand for an idea or you just like John's idea.
Pure agreement with John.
All right. What John said. Okay. Thank you. Or thank you, Johnny. Other thoughts?
I sometimes personalize it as mother, father, God, that there's no gender, it's pure love, but it encompasses all the aspects that we have separated out.
Yeah, I love that. Mother, father, God, recognizing there's no gender, but also looking at that idea of supreme creator, supreme love. Yeah. And we're going to talk about personalizing God in a bit because like many things in unity, there's a difference of opinion. Personally, I think it's okay to personalize our relationship with God because we're personal, we're human beings, and we relate on a personal level. Any other words that folks use for God that resonate with them that they'd like to share? All right. Well, we'll go back to a few other ideas. And these are actually on the handout. And this is certainly not all encompassing. But some of the names of God that were mentioned in this chapter of our book on beingness, oneness, divine mind, I added here. I also added a couple special ones that resonate with me. My husband uses the word the great it, which I always really like. So I included that in here. As I was typing these names of the divine, I came back and looked at what I had typed, and my fingers had typed divine Monday goddess. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I'll throw that in there, sure. And the one other word that I really like, and I think this gets back to what Susan said, I love the idea of God as source, God as the source that all of our good comes from. And especially in November, when in addition to thinking about release, one of the things we think about is prosperity and abundance and gratitude. We have Thanksgiving Day coming up in a couple of weeks where we get to celebrate all the blessings in our life. This past week, we had Veterans Day where we got to celebrate our veterans. And I want to extend my thanks to all veterans and their families for your service. So the idea of source helping us remember our abundance and all that we have to be grateful for really resonates with me. Now, why does it matter? What is the impact of having another word besides God? And so this is, again, well, we're all just open it up. And if anyone would like to turn off your microphone and share, what's the impact? Why have another name besides God? What does that do?
Well, I think you talked about that earlier, that for some people that can be kind of a trigger word. That.
Yeah. Thank you. My apologies. I think I cut you off a little bit. Yeah, so if the word God is a trigger word, it may be healing to use another word that helps better express our current understanding. Thank you. And it looks like Joanne, you might be getting ready to say something.
Well, I was thinking just for females, thinking of God the Father has been a sticking point for a lot of women. So
sure. Yeah, thank you, Joanne. So we might more easily identify with an image of God that seems closer to our understanding of ourselves. So some women might more easily identify with a feminine aspect of the divine, and some men might more easily identify with a masculine aspect of the divine. Thank you, Joanne. Any other thoughts?
I was just curious about who invented that word.
Who invented the word God? We were talking about that last night. I think that's another research project for after today's talk. Okay. If anyone finds the answer, please email us all. Thank you, Sherry.
I think that for me, God doesn't necessarily remind me that it's within, that the love.
Oh, yeah.
Having that some other words to use really pulls it down and impacts it, that we are all love, God's all in us.
Yeah, yeah, great. Thank you, Joyce. So maybe using another word that helps me remember that I am divine, you are divine, it's in us all, and it's not this thing out there. Yeah, thank you. And John.
Yeah, well, you know, this is an old understanding of God is love. God, everything in life that is joyous and good. I like to think of that as God or a part of God.
Yeah, yeah, all good, all joy, all blessing, all love. That is so beautiful. Thank you, John. Yeah, yeah. All right, anyone else feel so moved to share?
Well, this is a little off the topic, but have you ever heard of Charlie Sweet? He had a song about God, and one of the lines was with the letters turned around, it spells out dog, and he's man's best friend. That's true.
I love it. And what a great reminder too, that sometimes our experience of divinity or unconditional love is with our pets, with our dogs, with our cats, with our pets and plants and our experience of nature. Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. It's like Sherry read my talk in advance and hit all the highlights for, you know, on behalf of the group. All right. Well, so thank you everyone for sharing. And I also see one of the benefits of pondering the name of God or the meaning of God is it helps us clarify our own understanding, because the reality is that God is a concept that is very, very difficult to put into words. And many of us have an understanding of God or an understanding of the divine that's experiential. It's through something we've experienced. It's through something we've felt or seen, and not necessarily something that we've written into a word or spelled out in a verbal explanation. And so as we ponder these different images of the divine, as we ponder these different images of source, we get to not just understand beingness, oneness, and divine mind better. We understand ourselves better. We understand how we see other people better. We see what might be in our consciousness. And like I mentioned, I know sometimes I still bump into that big guy up in the sky, what I call the He-Man God consciousness. Sometimes I still bump into my old thinking. Now, in unity, these words, beingness, oneness, and divine mind, relate to this idea that God is principle. And our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, wrote in Adam Smashing Power of Mind, he said, by principle is meant definite, exact, and unchangeable. And this idea of God as principle is something that challenges my thinking at times as well. If anyone else grew up reading the Bible, especially the Old Testament, the images of God in that part of the Bible look more like the images of a person. In the Old Testament, God's a he gets angry, He forgets people. He smites people. Sometimes he's in a good mood if people do certain things for him. And in unity, we look at that Bible portion metaphysically as a development of our own consciousness. And so for me, this idea of God as principle really challenges me to think, am I still like in my head bargaining, trying to make God happy, as opposed to recognizing that God is all good, always love, always blessing, always joy, always the same. And this challenges me, and it may challenge you as well. So I did mention, and I think I've covered what's on this one. I did mention that within unity, there's not always agreement about seeing God as principle. And I know there's many areas within unity that there's some disagreement, and that's okay. We all have our own experiences. So some thinkers in unity believe that the only way to see God is as principle, and that all other ways are lesser than seeing God as principle. To me, that's a little rigid, and I hold a different belief. And this belief about the three faces of God was published in Unity Magazine a few years ago. And the author's name is Kelly somebody. We have it on our third slide. So I'm not remembering it off the top of my name, but we'll see it. So this idea of the three faces of God really challenges us to have an expansive view of the divine, where the first face of God is the ground of being or beingness, the experiential I or I am, God within us and God immanent. And this would be like the principle, the unchanging, the always the same part of God. The second face of God, I think Sherry mentioned it with the idea of mother, father, God, this idea of an entity to whom we relate and pray, God as thou or God as you. Jesus did this when he referred to God as Abba or Daddy. And the word thou sounds formal and old-fashioned to our ears, but in the past, the word thou was an even closer, more personal form of the word you. And so as human beings, we might have our own personal experience of God. And I think with this face of God, one challenge that we have is letting go of any idea of separation, remembering that the divine is still within, and also letting go of any idea of judging. So when Jesus called God his father, we all might have different experiences of fathers or of our relationship with fathers. And I think it's helpful with the idea of God as father or God as mother to think about, you know, the best, most loving father, the best, most loving mother that we could envision, and using that image. And then this one came up as well when we were talking about our pets, and Sherry talked about God being dog spelled backwards. Seeing God as the manifest world and the web of life, nature and all that is. And it could be God as he, she, or it, something we understand through our senses. And this might be personal or it might be principle, but many folks have an experience of the divine out in nature, relating to our pets, experiencing the rain, the sunshine, the wind, the leaves changing colors. And there's that Unity author's name I was trying to find, Karen Kelly. She wrote this article in Unity Magazine a few years ago. So this is a way that I see the divine incorporating the principle, but also with the space for the personal experience. And our Unity co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, in her book, How to Let God Help You, acknowledged that we might have a personal experience of God. So she said in this book, though personal to each one of us, God is it, neither male nor female, but the principle of life, love, and intelligence. And what I love about this is that Myrtle is talking about the principle, perfect life, perfect love, perfect intelligence, and also acknowledging that we have our own personal experience with and interaction with the divine. Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier that we're talking about one of our 12 powers today, and we may remember that Unity Worldwide Ministries' yearly theme for 2021 is how to stay centered no matter what. And the power for November is the power of release. Sometimes this is also known as the power of renunciation, elimination, forgiveness. It's the faculty by which we release false beliefs and accomplish a mental cleansing. It's our ability to remove, denounce, deny, say no, and let go. And I love this word, the power of repentance. So I know in some traditional churches, repent is kind of a heavy word. It literally means to rethink. So anytime that I have a thought that is not serving me, I can repent, I can rethink and think a different thought that might be more empowering to me. And I hope if you have any thoughts that aren't healthy, you rethink those thoughts as well. Our affirmation for the power of release is whatever I release will bless me. And I invite us all to affirm this together. Whatever I release will bless me. And there's two things I really love about this affirmation. One is that the idea of releasing or letting go blesses me. But the other one is the fact that I had the thing in my consciousness that I might want to release, the fact that I had it there is a blessing. And that experience of having had the thing blesses me. I told you a little bit earlier about my story in my 20s when I was invited to forgive some family members and I said, nope, not happening. For me, I don't know if you've heard this expression that we have in English, this expression, forgive and forget. And for me, that expression always landed a little wrong because a part of me wondered if I forget, how can I keep myself safe? Now, when I reached about age 40 and I decided to spend more time delving into my spiritual path and I began meditating, I had a realization that the events of my childhood shaped me. And I saw the challenges I had in overcoming those events and some of the challenges that I still was dealing with. But I also saw my family in a different light. And I realized that just like me, they had events in their childhood that shaped them. And they too likely had challenges in overcoming those events. And they may have even had fewer tools to their disposal than I had to mine. I know that therapy is much more prevalent now than it was back when some of my family was younger. And when I say this next statement, I'm saying it with all respect and not meaning to put down or discount any of my family. I started seeing the family members who I struggle with the most almost as like little toddlers, like little 2 or 3 year old beings with 2 or 3 year old coping skills, but in an adult body, trying to navigate and make sense of the world. And seeing my family like I would see a toddler helped me reach a place of compassion with my family. Instead of feeling frustrated or angry because I wish they would do something else, I recognized that in each moment, they were using the skills they had learned and they were trying to navigate their life as best they could with their existing skills. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect system, and there's times I still get frustrated with some family members. And I've changed the phrase forgive and forget to forgive and follow up, because the follow up for me might be that there may be times I need to put boundaries in place. There may be times I need to make decisions about what I will do to care for myself when I'm around people who have perhaps skills that that I wish were more advanced than maybe they are. But it is much easier now for me to recognize that my family truly did the best that they could at the time that they did the things they did. And I hope that they extend the same grace to me, because I am certainly someone who makes mistakes as well, and certainly trying to do my best in every moment. I believe the power of release is also more than forgiveness. I believe it helps us clear out what no longer serves us and make space for the new. I love this picture because there's such beauty in the month of November, even with trees losing their leaves, even with things looking a little scraggly. This is nature's way of letting go, releasing those old leaves, because we know that in the springtime, there will be room for new leaves. We might clear out a part of our home. In my home recently, we just cleared out this one shoe rack, and I got rid of shoes that I haven't worn in years, and I'm excited because now I have room for new shoes. We might also eliminate false beliefs and make space for new beliefs. And so this idea of God as principle, beingness, oneness, divine mind may help us explore, are there ideas in my head that I need to release? Do I have an old image of God that's not serving me anymore? Do I have a thinking that I have to see God only one way and that I can't see God my way? And so I find questions like these very, very helpful to ponder. In the book of Mark, we also see a great story about the power of forgiveness and release. And this is from chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 in the book of Mark, where Jesus heals a paralytic. And the passage goes like this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." And the paralyzed man stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, in unity, we remember that we don't get super attached to whether the stories in the Bible are real or literal or happened exactly the way they're written down. We apply metaphysical interpretation, looking beyond the physical. What does each character symbolize? What does each character symbolize to me? Recognizing that what characters symbolize to me may be different than what they symbolize to you, and that's okay. Metaphysical Bible interpretation is personal. So when I look at this passage, a few things I see is that to me, Jesus represents that Christ, that divine mind in each of us. And the paralyzed man is the part of me that gets stuck and literally unable to move. Maybe like that person that I was in my 20s when the idea of forgiving my family was just a no-go. Now, people brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, and the Bible calls them people, but I think they must have been the paralyzed man's friends because they worked really hard to get this guy in front of Jesus. They tried to bring him in the door. When that didn't work, they cut a hole in the roof and lowered this guy down in front of Jesus. And so for me, these people represent the part of me that works to get unstuck when I'm feeling stuck. This idea of cutting through the ceiling is the part of me that is open to trying new ideas. If the door doesn't work, I'll try a window. If the window doesn't work, I'll try the ceiling. How am I going to get in? And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. We teach in unity that sin is error thought. So sin is those ideas that are not serving me. And for me, this passage means that my striving for greater awareness of and greater understanding of my alignment with my divine nature, with divine mind, that's what heals me. That's what sets me free. That's what allows me to release and to forgive. I also love that Jesus says when he, or that the passage says that when Jesus saw their faith, this is when he said, your sins are forgiven. And that reminds me of our beautiful affirmation again, that whatever I release will bless me, the releasing of it and the fact that I had it, because we recognize that faith is our ability to see God in everything, our experience of forgiving. And even if we're in a place where we're not yet ready to release and not yet ready to forgive, we know the divine is right there with us in that space as well. And we can claim a blessing from that experience. So I believe we all have that power of release, the ability to forgive and to heal and to let go. And one tool that can help us in our journey is pondering and exploring the names that work for us to identify God, whether it's God or whether it's mother, father, or divine nature, or principle, or presence, or dog, or whatever word it is that works for us. And another tool that we have in our journey is meditation. And sometimes meditating on these names of the divine and on the power of release can open us up to that sacred currency of prosperity, those divine ideas that illuminate us. So we're going to take a few moments and go into meditation on the idea of release, on the idea of elimination. And we have a brief video before we join in together in this meditation. Whatever I release will bless me. And so as we enter into this time of meditation, I invite you to take a deep breath in and let it go, feeling your body relax, feeling how even our breath is the power of release, that our bodies are so intuitive, knowing they must release out-breath, space for the in-breath. And so if we have any thinking at all that release, forgiveness is challenging for us, we can remember we release abundantly every day with every breath. Release without thinking, without attachment, knowing there's enough air. Breath in confidence and in faith, knowing the next breath is available and waiting for us. And I invite you to hear this forgiveness prayer as the words of your own heart. If I have harmed anyone in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly through my own confusion, I ask their forgiveness. If anyone has harmed me in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly through their own confusion, I forgive them. And if there is a situation I am not yet ready to forgive, I forgive myself for that. For all the ways that I harm myself, negate, doubt, belittle myself, judge, or be unkind to myself, my own confusion, I forgive myself. I release. I let go. And I invite us to take a few moments in the silence with idea, I release, I easily. Whatever I release blesses me. I know that I am blessed through the letting go. And if any part of me is not yet ready to let go, I know that that part and that place is still blessed, accompanied, fully loved by the divine. I honor my pace. I acknowledge the many ways I let go every day. I easily and for my good. Ability to release that we know is in each of us. Are so, so grateful.
Thank you so much, Audrey. I mentioned our website earlier, and one of the true gems there is that all of these talks are archived. And I don't know about you, but there was so much packed in here. I know for sure I'm going to return and hear it again. Thank you so much. It's time now for our offering. And we'd like to thank everyone who has donated to Unity by mail. We appreciate any checks sent to the church at 800 South Pearl Street in Centralia, 98531. You can also donate on the unityofcentralia.net site. And in addition, we thank you for the ways you give of your time and talent. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offerings in our hands or hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And together we'll say our blessing of thanks. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And it's time for our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, to speak out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. We continue to pray for the people in our community and around the world who are without homes, without shelter, and need help with the basic essentials. We continue to pray for Mila, who has long COVID, for John, our friend who comes to the garden room, who is healing his cancer. Tom has appreciated and continues to appreciate your prayers as he heals from his surgery. And last week, Daria asked us to pray for her friend Bebop, who was in a terrible accident coming from the east to join her here in the west. And I believe he is still recovering from his surgeries, and let's continue to hold him in our prayers. And do you have additional prayers that you'd like to add? I can't see you, so you'll have to just unmute and speak them up. Okay. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And together we will say our prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And it's time for our peace song. So Mike and Karen and Isaac and Ethan, I don't know if Rachel's there or not, will help us sing this song as we circle up virtually and close our service.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth,
Thank you so much. And I'd like to thank everyone who made this great day